A couple of months ago, I had a guest, Nick, who swore up and down that the HAARP project, the entire system, had been sold to a British firm. Is that true? Is that possible?
British Aerospace owns the patents, but they don't own the project. They bought Arco Power Technologies, which was the original subsidiary of Atlantic Richfield, was sold first to E-Systems and then to Raytheon, which was one of the losing bidders on this project, incidentally. And then Raytheon sold to British Aerospace. And that's, but the actual program now is not run by the Navy and Air Force. It's now a DARPA program, which drops it down another level in terms of how you, you know, secure what you're developing in knowledge and technology. DARPA is more organized around straight military research for applications, for military applications.
A little more clandestine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when you look at the change, British Aerospace, that doesn't surprise me, because if you remember our work on the HAARP issue in Europe, when we took this issue by invitation to the European Parliament, the Foreign Affairs Chairman, Tom Spencer, was a British member of the European Parliament. Tom had worked with us for a number of years and allowed us several forums in Brussels to present our issues. And at the end of the day, the thing that he ran into going in to his military in Great Britain and researchers that he knew in Great Britain was, don't get involved in this project. Don't get involved in the opposition to this project, which for him was sort of the catalyst to getting involved. But there has always been a British link in terms of research on this, and certainly if you look at how real alliances demonstrated themselves in the last few years, it becomes pretty clear. Great Britain has been a partner of the U.S. in development of a number of systems, and you know, missile defense is certainly of interest to them as much as it is to us.
In your opinion, Nick, what do you think HAARP is being used for?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that the military says, obviously, you know, I believe, you know, what they say they are using it for. The two other areas, what they don't get into so intensely, are more areas of greater concern. What they talk about is surveillance applications for over-the-horizon radar. They're talking about using it potentially for studies to determine ionospheric characteristics and being able to influence the ionosphere, manipulate it in different ways. All of that is confirmed in the military literature. The two areas that get very controversial, one showed up in a technical memorandum that wasn't supposed to be publicly released, but it was non-classified, actually talked about the use of this technology for weather modification or weather control, and that's that became a pretty big issue for the European Parliament and a big issue later for the Russian Duma, both which passed resolutions opposing HAARP specifically for this particular risk factor. The other part that comes up is the use of extremely low-frequency signals for what's called earth-penetrating tomography, and this is something that MSNBC actually reported on right after 9/11 back in late November of 2001. Using HAARP for this particular purpose for looking at underground facilities in Afghanistan at the time. What people need to recognize is that the same signal range, which is approximately 1 to 40 hertz or pulses or vibrations per second in just plain language, but these pulse rates, if they transit certain what are called window frequencies, you can trigger biological effects within the human brain that are quite dramatic, that can end up resulting in an alteration of emotional state or a number of other effects. In fact, there's the most recent issue of a publication. In fact, this is the June 2004 issue of the Air Force Research Laboratory's Technology Horizons, and it's their publication kind of for the people that follow this stuff. And this is one of the new areas. It's called controlled personnel effects, one of the major areas of exploration by the Air Force. And this is what it says in this short little article. It says basically it targets a military significance, including facilities, equipment, personnel, communication information system. It becomes, measured global, here it is. Controlled personal effects investigates technologies to make selected adversaries think and act according to our needs. That's the quote. And what it's essentially doing, this article discusses the use of electromagnetic fields for doing this on a small scale, something that can be directed to a selected adversary. But in the context of this article, it's talking about this general direction of energy-based weapon systems. HAARP is one of those systems, and the idea of targeting large populations to have that kind of effect is something that the literature reflects as not only being possible, but this particular type of energy, the way it's being formed, that is the effect if you strike these window frequencies that I'm referring to.
How many HAARP systems are there on the planet? Just the one in Alaska, or are they all over the place now?
Well, by different names, they're all over the place. HAARP is the official name of this particular facility, but you have in the ISACAT system in Europe, you also have a system that's been constructed across Canada. There are facilities in other locations. One of the more interesting things that I've gotten recently came from, it was actually one of, I think one of your listeners on shortwave sent me a packet of materials from Australia recently. In fact, let me just grab them off my desk. This is on a, supposedly a radio telescope, but this is the interesting part. It's a square kilometer array. Now, that is a huge antenna, a square kilometer, 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer, a huge, huge, huge antenna. This is the size and magnitude that Bernard Eastland spoke about as being necessary for sort of the next possible step with HAARP. Now, I'm going to send this material down to a few people that I'm connected with to have them evaluate it and give me some feedback just to see if this, in fact, is the story to mask the story. And perhaps it's not a receiver as much as it is a signal generator, and that's really what I want to find out, because these facilities have been clearly identified in the northern hemispheres, but not so clearly, at least for me, in the southern hemispheres, and that starts to get pretty interesting.